science and stuff, I think I got 6-7 hours pool time a week, and that's if I went to every single session. Obviously, had A levels, had a lockdown. Obviously, I couldn't swim at all. And then to come to Loughborough, the first 4 weeks, God, I didn't talk to anyone. I was so miserable.
I was tired.
Like I could not get out of bed. I was napping like 3 or 4 hours a day. Luckily, I didn't have lectures at the start, and I was in the bin.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me yet again is my good friend, Dan. And after our fun podcast last week where we named our own swimming World Cup football team, go back, have a listen if you don't have a clue what I'm on about. This week, we are talking swimming in the actual swimming pool, and we are reviewing the short course Bucks competition that just happened in Sheffield.
Yeah, we do enjoy mixing up with a bit of fun that's a little outside the box from time to time. But back to it this week as we review Bucks that happened at Ponds Forge in Sheffield last weekend with the help of another guest who will be joining us later on in the episode.
Yes, let's not reveal too much about that just yet unless you've, I don't know, read the description or title of this podcast. But anyway, the usual top university swimming clubs like Loughborough, Stirling, Bath were all on display at Sheffield, but that isn't entirely what Bucks is all about, is it, Dan? So there is the elite swimmers on show, but there are also quite a lot of fun social swimmers, and the atmosphere on poolside at Bucks is one of the best in the country. Me and Dan can both testify for that.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love the fact that the atmosphere is so good because you get the, I don't know if it's because there's less pressure. I think we're going to ask some of these questions to our guests later on, but I don't know if there's less pressure with the social aspect of things as well. And because Loughborough, Stirling, Bath are so far ahead that they can do their own sort of, you know, play around with their race tactics or something like that.
What you're trying to say is those guys are expected to win. Everyone else racing can have fun and actually enjoy the meet and take pressure off and not really worry too much about times.
Yeah, well, this is what questions we're going to ask our guests later on, but I reckon that's part of it, and I think that the social aspect is a big key thing. It'd be great to see if this is all trickled down to other meets across the year and open meets, and, you know, Arena League is probably the next closest thing to a big atmosphere, isn't it?
Don't forget
and
BUSL.
That as well. Absolutely. So they're onto something big, which we're keeping an eye on, of course. We're helping. So, yes, I think Bucks is always one to look forward to, and I can't wait to dive into it, really. Let's go into a review mode.
Yeah, so along with enjoyment aspect, there were several big names on show. So let's touch upon their performances so everyone is aware what was swam. Best swimmer for me, standout as always, every time he gets in the pool. Irish records broken left, right and centre, Daniel Whiffen. The future is still as bright as it has ever been. Three weeks training at altitude seem to have done the job because 800, 1500, Bucks records, Irish records, swimming very, very well.
Yeah, everything he's doing is absolutely bang on at the moment. Like you said, that altitude training has obviously paid dividends massively because Irish record in the 15. Yes, I know it's short course, but even still, it's an Irish record. His name goes down in the history books, and every time he dives in, he's PBing. It's quite incredible. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does at future meets, especially in the summer with Worlds, because he's onto something special right now. He really is. Mm.
Let's stay on theme with distance swimming then. On the women's side, Fleur Lewis and Leah Crisp, really good performances. Yeah. Again, two Bucks records, distance swimming. Maybe there's a bit of hope for British distance swimming and we should put a little bit more positivity on it.
Well, I'm going to cast our minds back to the Commonwealth Games where, you know, Team England didn't take any distance female swimmer. And you think, well, hang on, we've got two girls here who are looking pretty good, breaking Bucks records. I know, again, short course, but even still, if you've given those girls the opportunity, who knows how much experience they would have gained. So it's horrible to look back in that sort of way, but I think the future will be good for these girls if they keep on working and keep working towards their end goal.
Yeah, I'm going to say this now. I have no idea how swimmers swim a 1500 short course. Surely you just end up feeling all sorts of dizzy.
Yeah, I don't know how you keep counts, because what is it, 64 lengths? 60, 64
well, there's
lengths?
Obviously a counter, isn't there? But
yeah, you're not keeping counts, are you? Or no. I wouldn't. I'd have to poke my head up every like 10 lengths. Like, how many lengths have I got left? Oh, what? How many? 48. That seems like a long way to go. But maybe obviously these distance swimmers must have tactics. Let's say the 1500, you would do a 500 at a relatively easy pace, then maybe build the second 500, then you know, strong on the third. I don't know. It depends what their tactics are. But yeah, the idea of turning 60 odd times, it makes me dizzy thinking about it now. Yeah.
Can you tell me and Dan never went above 400? For me, 100.
Yeah, you never went above four lengths. Four lengths, that's far. That's way too far.
That's enough. And even then, sometimes I counted wrong.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Let's touch upon the shorter distances then, Dan.
Well, I'm going to start with the Loughborough guys. Andreas Vazeos, Bucks records in the 100 and 200 fly. I mean, he was always going to win. He is, I think, the bigger name at this competition, I want to say. He was the one, he was the man, I think. And then actually going to the breaststroke side of things, Greg Butler impressed me. 58 point for his 100 breaststroke. Converted to Olympic distance is probably about a 60 point. I think that's quite good going, actually. This time of year, that is really good going. So I think he's definitely one to watch out for to go a sub-minute later on in the season. Any more for you? Any more guys that you want to talk about?
No Bucks record, but I was really impressed by the Stirling guys' clean sweep in the 200 IM. I think led by Evan Jones, who went at 156. Yeah. I think he won it by something like 3 seconds. That is a giant margin, no matter what competition you're in. I know before the Commonwealth Games, I quietly said, you know, he does the same events as Duncan Scott. Let's just keep a quiet eye on him for Team Scotland. There's a big future there. There is a massive future. He's come from the Millfield background, gone up to Stirling now. He's training with Duncan and Jack McMillan in the IM 200 free crew. That's a good squad to be in. That's a very good squad to be in for him.
I do like the fact that you said quiet and we're on a national podcast. Like, it's not that quiet anymore. So everyone now knows, Evan Jones needs to watch him. He's next Duncan Scott, which he might be. Honestly, he's on the right track. So he's doing really well and actually had a good meet. And yeah, again, another guy to watch out for in the future, I think.
So Dan, on the women's side then, before we touch upon the dominant performances from the Loughborough girls, especially the ones that they've brought in this summer from America. Stirling again, Kiana McInnes. She had a very impressive Commonwealth Games for Scotland and raced well at Europeans in Rome. So far, this season looks going well. A Bucks record in the 100 IM and stepping stones for the Olympic distance, the 50-metre programme later on in this season.
Yeah, I mean, she's still a 200-metre flyer. I think everyone will agree with that. So that's really her main event. I do see her as an Olympic distance athlete, more so than a short course athlete. I'm going to stick with Stirling. I was quite happy with Katie Shanahan's performances in both the IMs as well. They were quite solid. I mean, I don't know if these times are anything to scream and shout about. It's very early in the season. It's still short course season as well. But I think that they bode well for competitions later on with, like, let's say British champs and then worlds later on if those girls can qualify, which I hopefully they can do. I was quite impressed with some of the racing. Some of the racing was quite close on the women's side, especially in the 200 meter freestyle and the 400 meter freestyle. I mean, some of the races were literally split by 0.3 over a 400 meter. That, I mean, that they were neck and neck the whole way. Very interesting races.
Well, I mean, the 200 freestyle was Freya Colbert and Paige Madden. That is top quality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That is real high quality.
Yeah, Freya Colbert, they were both tied for gold, actually, 155.8. And Freya's another name we should probably mention. She was always in that top three, always meddling in her races, both in the freestyle and the IM. But I think she's probably not guaranteed, because no one's guaranteed a spot on the GB team, but I think she's becoming more of a solid position for her on the team, because she's consistent. She's really consistent every time she's in the pool. So it's looking good for our female team right now on the GB side, definitely.
Yeah. Now, of course, the overall competitions were won both on the men's and women's side by Loughborough, and the overall competition by Loughborough, I would presume to everyone who's listening that isn't a massive surprise. I'm still slightly surprised that there isn't more of a competition from Stirling and Bath in terms of taking it to them, because this is a big competition in terms of sports funding for universities to get payouts from Bucks. But no one seems to be able to get anywhere near the depth that Loughborough have.
No, I suppose if you compare it to football, for example, it's very difficult to challenge the top six, like in the Premier League. You know, it's really difficult to break into that top six. I know you see like Newcastle this season, they are, or have, it seems, they've broken in, but of course they've got that financial backing to get there, you know? So that's part of it. I remember being head coach. I don't know. I remember just being part of the university coaching team at Gloucestershire, and because we got so many Bucks points, the sport of swimming actually got more funding the next year. So if you're looking at, like, let's say Birmingham, they will hopefully now get more funding because of their good performances this year. And so that hopefully then goes on to bigger and better things. That's an example.
But when Loughborough are bringing in swimmers like Felix Ubeck,
well,
Vazeos, Paige Madden, Catherine Deloof, you've not really got too much of a chance to compete with the overall standings, do you?
No, well, there's not too much to say about that. It's just the way it is, I suppose. They're able to attract the best swimmers because they are the best team.
So let's talk a little bit inside the Loughborough University swimming team. And to do that, rather than me and Dan breaking down every individual swimmer, we are going to invite on a two-time Bucks champion and winner of two silver medals from this weekend just gone, and certainly a sprinter to look out for the future, Alex Cahoon. Alex, thank you for joining us this week. How are you?
Hi guys, thanks for having me on firstly. Yeah, I'm really good after a good weekend of racing. A bit tired, but I'm ready to go again.
All recovered? You had quite a busy program with all of the relays, all of the 50s, 100s. Is it quite a tiring weekend for you in Sheffield?
It is, yeah, but I got to Saturday night and I was sick of swimming 50s. I was like, I want to swim 100 now. Like, it's all good being quick, but I was just like, I want to do four lengths instead of two.
I'm amazed that's even a thing. I thought sprinters just want to do 50s. That's the main thing.
I know, it normally is, but I'm just sick of it. I swam so many, and it was relays as well.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to...
Wow. Are you trying to up the distance in your program? Are you trying to move away from the 50 and add the 100 into your repertoire?
It's not as if... We're not like moving away from it, but like... Our main focus is the 100.
Okay.
50, it will come. Speed comes in training.
Yeah.
It's not specific. We have increased the mileage that we're doing each week, but it's not like a crazy jump. I'm not doing like 50, 60K. I'm just doing like low 40s. So.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Let's start by discussing a little bit about the Bucks experience. So what is it like for those listening at home to race at Bucks? What makes it different to other swimming events in the country?
I think the atmosphere is definitely up there, because obviously there's so many people there compared to, like, we don't get as many for like nationals. Obviously you get parents who, like, sometimes they watch their child and then go. You feel like Bucks, they watch every single event and everyone's cheering. Like that guy from Leeds, the atmosphere is unbelievable. Like, I've never seen Pontefract like that, and there's only a small group of them from Leeds and they made so much noise. it was actually really good, so fair play to them.
Do you reckon a mix of both like elite swimmers and the sort of social swimmers helped to build like a cracking atmosphere there?
Yeah. It's obviously you've got the big names like Felix, Katie, Deloof, Andreas, who obviously wins everything. So
yeah,
I have a mix of like the people that who like enjoy swimming, but obviously know they're not going to challenge people like Andreas. So like they get their enjoyment out of it as well.
Yeah, so it's almost like there's less pressure on the swimmers for the results, and they actually cheer on just for enjoyment, essentially.
Yeah,
it creates
exactly.
A much more vibrant atmosphere at the pool.
Yeah, so it's not all about winning, it's about like taking part as well. So.
I think that's something that maybe clubs and open meets around the country could maybe look at a little bit more, because the best atmospheres are your fun meets. They're your Bucks, they're your arena leagues. Those are the ones which really stand out to me from my time at swimming, whereas open meets are, it's a long weekend, open meets. Whereas Bucks is a fun weekend.
Yeah, it's like, none of, all the top swimmers, we aren't tapered. It's like, is obviously as important that we score points for uni, but like if we don't do some great, it's not like us, it's not the end of the world. Like we can have a little bit of fun. It's like we can like experiment like race plans. Like I 2 weeks ago in Berlin, I went out high 22 and I came back in 26-0. I was absolutely knackered and I said to Ian, I'm not going out this fast this weekend. I'm trying to get back a little bit faster, which I did. So it's just like working around like race plans and everything.
That's the benefit of doing it early season, I suppose, because that's what this is what this sort of competition is for, just to sort of play around with tactics. I don't mind going out quite strong on 100. I actually would like you to do that. That would be quite good because, you know, you put yourself in the best position to win their event or get a good time. But it's good to play around, and I think that's what Bucks is really all about, especially for the top guys anyway.
Yeah, like there's no pressure really on us.
Yeah.
To obviously like hit the times we want to hit, because we're never going to hit them in November. Obviously not hit them in November. It's more like, totally forgot what I'm up for then. You want to be hitting it at Scottish Nationals. That's when it really matters.
Yeah. I mean, my next question was, how important is a meet of like this for Loughborough University? So when I say that, I don't mean the swimmers. I mean, it would, if you don't mind me saying, it'd be kind of embarrassing if a university the scale and size of Loughborough didn't win overall competition. Is there a little bit of pressure going in that, come on, you have to win this, like the overall team competition?
I feel like if you look around the team, there's so many big names. I just feel like there's no way we're losing this. So it doesn't, I don't feel any pressure personally. I don't know about I can't speak for the rest of the team, but I think the uni, obviously the uni want us to do really well because we score so many points swimming alone for universities. I think last year Loughborough got 9,000 points overall and swimming scored 1,000 of them. And you think of how many other sports there are competing at like Bucks, we do incredibly. So I guess there is a bit of pressure, but everyone has faith in the team to do well.
Am I right in thinking those Bucks points bring money into the uni?
Yeah, they do. I don't know how it gets distributed.
I'm presuming if you're right at the top and you're winning these events, then you get some sort of funding back. So
it's funding.
Maybe outwardly, like the coaches are getting pressure put on them to make sure you win, but I guess you swimmers, there's never a doubt.
It's hard for the coaches because they obviously don't want to taper us for this meet, because us swimmers, we don't really care. But for the uni, it's massive because obviously we're bringing in big bucks, so they want us to do well. So obviously the coaches get a bit like, oh, you need to win here. And obviously we don't want to taper for this meet, so just getting that right balance, really.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a bit more pressure from, let's say, the bigger swimming unis, let's say Stirling and Bath, who we've spoke about earlier in our review. Do they pile pressure onto you guys as well? Because they obviously want to have the same outcome as you. They should be winning or should be in the top 2-3 as well.
Yeah, you obviously look at the big names other unis have got and think, oh Christ, they're looking strong this year.
Yeah.
But our team's just too good, to be honest. I don't want to be copy, but it is too. We're just stacked in every single event, and I just feel like there's no need to worry, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, let's go through a little bit of Loughborough's performances then. And one time that stood out to both me and Dan was your split in the medley relay of a 19.19. Now, blistering ankle leg, is a world record on the way? Is that what we can expect?
Yeah, I think that time smashes the previous split world record by about a second. So,
has it been corrected yet?
No, I don't think it has. Not like officially, but we have a good idea what I went.
What was that?
I think it's 21.1.
Okay.
Yeah, because I looked at the splits and Andreas went 24.6, and then individually he went 23.9. I'm like, he's gone like a second slower. Something's gone wrong here. But when I saw your time of 19.19, I thought, oh my God, he's on for a world record. That is world record pace. I'd love to have seen that race. But clearly it's not right.
I was walking down for the presentation and Dave Bloomfield came up to me and goes, oh, have you seen your split? And I'm like, oh, have I gone 20 point or something like that? He goes, you've gone 19. I was like, screenshot it really quickly.
Before it's corrected.
Yeah. I haven't actually checked, so it might have been changed, but not that I know of.
Now, I'm right in thinking it was a new Bucks record, even if the timings were, the splits were a little bit messed up. You don't discuss targets like hitting records from years before?
Yeah, we did actually. We have a meeting every year, and this year we had a look and we thought those records are very capable.
So how much goes into the build-up of breaking that record? Takeovers constantly the week before?
Well, I've just come off that British Swimming Relay camp, so I thought I got to have a good takeover here, otherwise that camp would have been for nothing. But it's just... we spoke as a team, me, Andreas, Connor and Greg. We said, don't do anything silly. We're more capable of doing it without risking a point, whatever, ridiculous takeover. Mm. And Ian, our coach, read out all the splits we need to go, and it was quite comfortable to do in the end.
So you don't practice like relay takeovers just for this sort of meet? Do you do it constantly throughout the year?
Well, it's quite hard because obviously you have the national centre people as well, so mixing training's not always available. And obviously, I wasn't training last week because I was a bit under the weather, so we didn't really get a chance to all get together as a team to practice.
Yeah. Now, we said earlier on in the podcast, before we invited you on, our kind of standout swimmers, but as a Loughborough swimmer yourself, who were the names that stood out for you as part of the squad? Give them a shout out.
Part of the squad. I think Greg Butler, 58 point.
That's good.
He's very quick. And obviously, Dan with him, breaking all sorts of records. Every time he gets in the water, that man PBs, so big shout out to him.
He's on fire, that guy. He's really on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 weeks of altitude.
Yeah, he trains unbelievably hard, so he fully deserves everything he's getting right now. So, big shout out to him.
Heard stories. I have heard stories.
Yeah, he's an animal.
So, if we look at your individual performances yourself, how would you rate your weekend, especially considering you said to us beforehand you had a virus the whole week before? So, how would you rate your weekend in Sheffield?
Well, I started off Friday night with the 4x50 relay heat, and I said to Ian, put me on first, see what I can go from a dead start. And I went 22.00, I think, and I thought, oh, that's great, that's set up brilliant for the individual tomorrow. But I just couldn't get under the 22 barrier. So
is that a target?
I was obviously a bit, yeah, going into it, oh, if I can go that puts like less pressure for Scottish Nationals a few weeks later. But obviously now I'm going in a bit, feel like I have to do it.
Getting twitchy. Scottish.
Yeah, but I was really pleased with my 100 actually, because I saw the heat quite easy, and I was a bit worried I didn't have much in me, like energy wise, to do it. But I was really happy with my 100.
Are you quite confident that you'll eventually go sub 22 for that 50?
Yeah, I'm confident. Once I'm shaved down, it'll be fine.
So do you know the ways to sort of get down there? Do you know exactly what you need to work on to get a 21 point?
I know long-term solutions. My starting turns aren't good enough, but it's whether I can fix that in 3 weeks is the big question. Yeah. But I feel like a bit more caffeine, a bit more adrenaline on the bigger stage, I feel like I could do it.
Simple as that. You've got the facilities at Loughborough to really work on that start with all of that camera technology. Is that something you're focusing on with Ian, your coach?
Yeah, that's helped me massively, because I came in obviously from Cirencester, got nothing really, and then to go to Loughborough with all these cameras, it's unbelievable. And my time's dropping quite quickly at the moment, so it's making a massive difference.
Do you think that's why your time's dropping so much? Because you almost came to Loughborough as a very raw swimmer, essentially. We'll get into Cirencester a little bit, but it is a very small village club, essentially, compared to some swimmers who go off to these big national centres who have had the background of weights training, nutrition programs. You went there quite raw. Is that why your time's coming down, because you're now seeing the benefits of essentially having a year or two at the national centre?
Yeah, it's helped me massively. Like, I remember the first time we did turns, my turns were shocking. Like, looking at it, like, we compared them to Felix. All sorts of names on the Kistler, and I was just thinking, how am I that bad? Like, it was like.
Did you know you were bad before that?
Well, I knew obviously wasn't where I am now. Like,
okay,
I'm not. I expected like I wasn't going to be, but to be that bad, I was like, oh, Christ! Like, but that was the changing point, I think, because I just knew what I had to work on.
Mm.
So I wasn't, yeah. I hadn't swam like a 50 pointer thinking, oh, I've swam the perfect race there. What do I do? I had so many things I had to work on. So it's still, I'm nowhere near where I want to be.
Mm.
So I still got loads to improve on, but I'm definitely making massive improvements.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had the same sort of experience as well when I went to Cardiff. The fact that I thought I was relatively good at pull, and then I went to go to Cardiff and I found myself really, really struggling, like badly struggling. And I was like a length behind on a 400 pull or something like that. Really, really tough. So immediately I thought I had to change something, whether it's, I don't know, do more paddle work or do more stuff in the gym or pull up something to make a bit of a difference. But yeah, it's interesting that you've had that same experience. I think that the jump from a, let's say, village club or a smaller sort of feeder club to that national centre level makes a huge difference.
I know, because at Cirencester, I think I got 6-7 hours pool time a week. And that's if I went to every single session. Obviously, had A-levels, had lockdown, obviously, I couldn't swim at all. And then to come to Loughborough, the first 4 weeks, God, I didn't talk to anyone. I was so miserable.
Tired.
Like I could not get out of bed. I was napping like 3 or 4 hours a day. Luckily, I didn't have lectures at the start, and I was in the bin.
Were you thrown in the deep end or eased in, or was it literally like, come on, this is National Centre, get on with it?
I'd say I was eased in. They did know my background coming in, because I was going to be put into the AU squad, because obviously to build me in properly. Because they're not stupid. They know I've come from this background of 6-7 hours a week. They can't just expect me to jump into a 16-hour program. So I think I started off about 12 hours for the first couple of weeks, and then I went into full training. But I soon got the gist of it. And
but then again, going from 6 hours, like you say, up to 12, you're doubling it already.
That's a lot.
And that's easing in. So that's a lot from where you were, you know? That's a big difference.
It was a hard point in my life. Not like that. My parents, they were ringing me and I was just like, man, I'm so tired.
It's a classic case of the big fish in a little pond going from suddenly the big fish going into a massive pond where there's other big fish type thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's only good. I was going to say one of the reasons why you must have improved, I think, is because we've got such a good sprinting boys guy. We've got a good sprinting setup at the moment on the men's side with, let's say, Matt Richards, Jacob Whittle, Duncan Scott. The fact that you've got these guys to look up to, does that make you want to train harder and you know, eventually sort of compete with them and even beat them at some point?
Yeah, definitely, because the times they're dropping at the moment, it's getting silly. So I am playing catch up, but I believe I can get to that point. Like, they haven't got anything that I haven't got, so there's no excuses really. So it's just got to crack.
You're very much still on that steep upward arc. You don't see it slowing down right now.
No, I had like the whole of last year, I was PBing every time I got in the water because my times were very fast. And I know I'm going to get to the point where I'm not going to PB. You know, it's how I deal with that, because when I swim bad, I'm really not a good person to be around. Like, I want to PB every time I get in the water, even if it's like at Bucks. Like, I want to PB. It's just who I am as an athlete. I'm very competitive.
When you were at Cirencester and you only had 6-8 hours a week available to you, and you could see that you were obviously doing well, you were going to nationals, why did you never want to move to more pool time when you were younger? Why wait until you got to university?
I think family. I am quite shy.
Okay.
I think I'd have struggled going to Millfield or like Mount Kelly at the age of 16. Because I'm really close to mum, dad and my brother, and I'm a grandma and grandpa and uncle, so I think it was leaving them was, I don't think I was ready.
Okay.
To like, cause okay. I wasn't, I don't know how to word it, like, I didn't love swimming at that moment in my life either. I played rugby on the side and I really enjoyed that. And it was just balancing both. I didn't enjoy swimming very much until I started dropping better times and getting slightly better.
It's interesting. I wonder if it's kind of going to help with your longevity in the sport, because a lot of the people who go off to university programs will have had 4 or 5 years at quite a high level of training or long hours, whereas you're now only just getting into it. So you've almost got that, I don't know, I want to say youthful drive, but you, none of them are old at university. But yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're still almost got that age group enthusiasm, and that's not been knocked out of you yet.
It's like I'm a baby, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so new to the sport. I'm crawling. I want to be running. Like, but I know the pathway that I'm on is going to get me there. It's just a matter of time. Because obviously, when I was 16, I wasn't on a massive program. I was just doing bits and bobs, like gym, for example. Like, I was doing it with my brother in a local gym, like twice a week. Like, I didn't have a program. I didn't have anything to follow. And I've come to Loughborough, and I've got everything. Just all gone into me, and I feel like I needed a year at Loughborough with a senior program, the right people around me to get me on the right path, and I feel like year two I can really push on now.
I think it's definitely an interesting lesson for any parents who are listening, who are trying to get their kids more pool time. It's maybe not necessarily needed. I think the enjoyment and keeping you going.
Because I had this debate with my brother. He's like, you're doing well now. Why do you need 16 hours? You're a sprinter. Why do you need so much pool time? And I didn't have an answer to him. I said, I don't know. Everyone does it, so it must work for them. And the question was, oh, you're this good now. Imagine if you could do double that. And obviously...
But that it doesn't always work like that for everyone, does it?
No. Yeah, everyone's different because we went to Turkey, and like Ben Proud doesn't do that many meters, and obviously you can drop silly times. So everyone's different.
So if we go back then at your time at Siren, what was the main focus during those 6 hours in the pool or six sessions in the pool?
It was hard really, because it was just mainly aerobic, because we didn't have time to suit up. We didn't really have time to get blocks out, because that takes 15-20 minutes there, because obviously public come in, so they're not permanently always there. So it's just... we had like once a week was technique, so it was just all how much meters we can do in a week with the pool time we've got.
Yeah, because there's always a constant debate of whether it's quantity over quality, and I've always said that technique is the main focus, and it should be the main focus, especially like at a village club, because then, let's take you for example, you have your good technique, and then you go to a bigger program where they have more hours, then you can build up that engine, I suppose, then the speed, and it naturally happens better, I suppose. But that's the sort of thing that you did at Siren as well.
Yeah, because obviously I've never seen myself swim underwater with a camera, and then I go to Loughborough and I've got it all. So I'm not doing the technique wrong at Siren, it's just I'm not doing it right. Like, the amount of improvements I've already made at Loughborough on my technique compared to if I was still at Siren it's just been massive.
Well, stuff you're not realising, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're also older, you're wiser, you can actually take it in. You're not a stubborn teenager who's just going to brush off advice and be like, "What? Why do I care? I know best."
Yeah, exactly.
Alex, what's the goals for the rest of the season? You've obviously said go sub 22 at Scottish Nationals. What's the rest of the target come the Olympic distance season later on?
Obviously, short course, I'd like to go 47. Try and creep in there. But I said to you, my main focus is long course. I'm not great at short course, and I can accept that. I obviously would like to go 48 long this year and try and challenge the other boys a little bit and try and get in those A finals instead of being second, first in for the B finals. I want to be in the mix of them.
You said you were on that relay camp. Was there any communications with British Swimming in terms of getting you up for a 4x1 sometime later on in the season?
Yeah, we all had like target times that we all have to go come Olympic year. And we've all had loads of motivational speakers come in and get us really pumped. And I think we've got such a good group of lads in this 4x1 that we can win Olympic gold easily, I think, if we all get together and train hard. I believe we can.
Yeah, it's interesting how you say it's all mostly time-based. Of course it is when you come to Olympics, because that's the time needs to be fast for you to win Olympic gold. But are there any processes that you're going to be concentrating on throughout this whole year? You say the starts and turns. Is there anything else?
Like, my best attributes is my swim speed, no doubt about that. And even we went on, as with Ian and Andy Wallace on the Kisser, and they're saying, this is wrong, you've got to change this, got to change that. And I just think, if I can get that right and then get my turns and starts right, I do think I can put down a fast time, but I know it's going to take time and a lot of hard sessions, so but I'm willing to do it.
Is there a focus on the gym side of things as well?
Yeah, start this year, I'm going to start lifting 4 times instead of 3 compared to last year, so I'm going to try, not like get bigger, but get stronger, get more defined, hopefully.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, Alex, it's been a lot of fun having you on this podcast to briefly review Bucks, and then a really interesting conversation coming from the smaller club up to what is a giant centre at Loughborough. I've really enjoyed it. We do usually finish with some quick fire questions. Do they sound good to you?
Yeah.
So what is your favourite event in swimming?
100 freestyle.
Who is your swimming idol?
Caleb Dressel.
What is your proudest moment in swimming? So far.
I don't know, it's probably the worst one you've had on, but probably Bucks Champ long course last year.
What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Probably aerobic capacity on Monday night, holding like 60 points. Oh, kill me.
It's like the classic 31s, is it?
Yeah, long course as well.
Hard. Yeah, always horrible.
Lovely. And final question, if you were to go on a road trip, there's 3 spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrities, dead or alive, who would go with you?
I knew this question was coming. I've been asking everyone all week.
What should I answer?
So I definitely have to take my brother. I'm very close to him. Bit of a controversial one. I'd say Piers Morgan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just think he knows so much stuff. He knows everyone's life stories. And I just think he'd be very good. And,
he would grill you, though, wouldn't he? He would be in interview mode, like just grilling you all the time.
I just feel like he would know so much. He'd be good. And probably Cristiano Ronaldo, because he's
so you just want a first-hand seat to that Piers Morgan interview, essentially, don't you?
Well, I'll defend Ronaldo with my whole life. I think he's the best ever. I love him to absolute bits. And then Piers Morgan, obviously,
Nice. Alex, thank you so much for coming on to the Propulsion Swimming podcast this week. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and we can't wait to essentially keep watching your times drop, because we invited you on for a reason. We think there's a big future ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, very best of luck for the rest of the season, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Dan, great to welcome Alex on after what was a very busy weekend for him and the whole Loughborough squad at Bucks. Really interesting to hear. Essentially, it is an important meet without it being an important meet for Loughborough as a whole, but not for Loughborough swimmers. And then the insight into essentially the jump from 6-7 hours a week to a 16-hour program, full gym, full the works, and how that's really affected, or actually it's not hindered his progress, it's almost accelerated his progress at the elite stage.
That was my biggest takeaway, and that was one thing I wanted to bring him on for, was to ask him about that jump, because I've experienced that sort of that similar jump, not as big as that. He's gone from 6 hours, and then he said he was easing in to 12 hours. Well, that's double. That's twice as hard, and that's easing in. So it's great to pick his brain about that journey that he went on, the fact that, like you say, 6 sessions of maybe a little bit of aerobic, just try and get as much stuff in technique-wise, and the fact that he's able to now be one of the top sprinters in Loughborough and have that strong mentality that he's got, that he thinks that he can compete with the best. He's only 20. I mean, he's one to watch out for. I think he is. And if he can fix those starts and turns, which he says bad, I mean, he's on for something special, isn't he?
Yeah, most definitely. He's not quite at the level of your Ben Proud, your Lewis Burras, but they are pro guys. They've been around the block for quite some time now. They are world-class swimmers, but I feel like Alex has a lot of untapped potential, which is we're only just starting to see kind of the beginnings of it. For people who've listened to this podcast for a long time, we do like to invite these swimmers on who we think have a big future ahead of them, essentially before they break onto the elite stage, to showcase their abilities a little bit more.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if you're comparing him to Ben Proud and Lewis Burris now, I mean, those guys' backgrounds, I mean, you took a look at Lewis Burris, he was at Hamilton Aquatics in Dubai. Mm-hmm. That's a big old program. And you take a look at Ben Proud and the Plymouth. That was a big old program. Yeah, and then you look at Alex, we've just spoken to, Cirencester, which, I don't know, 50 swimmers max, maybe, in the whole club? Something like that. It's tiny. And so the fact that he's made the jump to Loughborough, he said he was knackered, but it's been now, what, 1-2 years, and he's now starting to adapt. I think he says he's prepared for the time when he's not going to PB. He will experience that. It's how he gets through that. And then his body will then need to adapt to the next load of training. He's now doing an extra gym session, so we'll see where he goes.
Yes, a very exciting future for him indeed. Now, Dan, next week's podcast is going to be a special one, and all will be revealed in a week's time. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and me and Dan will see you next week.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.